I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. I must tell Jesus, Jesus alone.
I hope that you are finding your faith with prayer and worship sufficient for the days we are experiencing now. We have an affirmation of our faith to help us focus on our faith. We proclaim it each week, this one from Titus in the third chapter, which we've used recently. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Our reading for today is from Mark's Gospel in the second chapter, the first 12 verses. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and He preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to Him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in His spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and He said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So Jesus said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. I consulted three pastors for this message today. One wrote an essay, one preached a sermon, one wrote a church blog. The writer said plenty, the preacher and blogger, not so much. But they all helped me say what the Bible shows us today. I'll give credit to the writer. I don't think that the other two would want any credit. The writer is Reverend Tim Schenck, an Episcopal priest in Massachusetts. You can follow him on Twitter. Pastor Tim wrote, When I was in middle school, Coach Spencer's answer to everything was, walk it off. Hit in the face with a dodgeball thrown by the biggest bully in school? Walk it off. Dying of thirst with a touch of heat stroke after the forced 1 mile sprint around the perimeter of the campus? Walk it off. Coach Spencer's primary role at my high school was varsity football coach. This was a hallowed position, and a certain aura surrounded him wherever he went. His other duties as assigned included overseeing a few sections of middle school gym class, and he clearly believed the role was beneath him. He seemed to believe that his mission in life was to cut spoiled brats down to size while keeping his eyes open for the next star football player. One day, when I tripped and banged my head on the hard concrete floor during one of his excuses as an exercise routine, a head strike that was hard enough that I literally saw stars, the first thing I remember was Coach Spencer standing over me, muttering, "Walk it off, walk it off." I think Father Tim explained that well, and I'll get back to Father Tim in a moment. But first, I hope you all know how wrong Coach Spencer was. Coach Spencer was also very lucky or fortunate that no one in his classes that we know of ever suffered heart collapse from heat prostration or dehydration or permanent brain injury or stroke or disability from traumatic brain injury. Because those injuries and deaths have happened to players of coaches like Coach Spencer. Walk it off is not only terrible medical advice, walk it off is no way to take care of athletes under your supervision. Some of us learned wrong things from people like Coach Spencer. Pastor Tim went on to write, "This is one of the wrong ways we often try to approach life's challenges. We try to walk it off." Pastor Tim writes from New England, "We're here in the Midwest. Here in the Midwest, we simply ignore our feelings, promise ourselves never to express feelings, as in the expression, don't cry, no matter what the circumstances, or we sometimes simply deny that there is a problem. Some folks figure if they don't go to the doctor, they'll never find out anything wrong." And that kind of thinking is half right. If you don't consult a medical professional, you'll never know whether your headache is a migraine or a brain tumor. Believe you me, both of those conditions are treatable and survivable, and you won't be able to walk off either one of those either. So walk it off is terrible advice. And I'm sorry to say, there's a spiritual equivalent to walk it off. And you know these people, you've heard them, you've seen them. I listened to a pastor this week who came real close to saying the spiritual equivalent of walk it off. Maybe you've said such things, not knowing what you were saying. Here's what walk it off sounds like in church. You need to have more faith. You need to pray more. God will take care of you. I will get back to that one. You need to confess some sin that you haven't confessed yet. You didn't have a mental breakdown. You had a mental breakthrough. You know, I don't even know what that one means. You need to attend church more. You need to attend my church. Those are all spiritual equals to walk it off. What I learned from the pastor's sermon I heard is that the sermon I was working on came too close to offering you spiritual walk it off advice. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to say to you, walk it off. Because there is so much we as believers can do to help this situation everyone finds themselves in. Last spring I mentioned that when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. But when life hands you alligators, you make Gatorade. Do we need to rehearse that? When life hands you gators, you make Gatorade. Well, faithful ones, we've been handed the gator. And you, the faithful, have the recipes that can dress up a gator dinner. And we know that wild gator is not anyone's favorite dish, but we're going to get into the spiritual kitchen and we're going to get cooking. You and I know why we can't simply walk off this pandemic. Because Pastor Tim wrote, living in a pandemic is different. There are challenges we face both as individuals and as a community that we can't simply walk off. Life's been turned upside down. The human, and even more so, Christian need for connection goes unfulfilled. Uncertainty, anxiety, and sometimes even fear. All of these feelings are being given a name, pandemic fatigue or COVID fatigue, and we know why it's happening. After sheltering in place, some folks went back to work only to find out that now their shift or their section has to go home for quarantine. Or you could have COVID fatigue from knowing people who have been ill or know more than one person who has been quarantined, not to mention if you lost someone to the coronavirus. Pandemic fatigue can be experienced differently for everyone, but often presents itself as feeling restless, irritable, lacking motivation, and difficulty concentrating on tasks. You may even notice yourself withdrawing from socializing with others or physical symptoms such as changes in eating habits or sleeping habits. We could add depression for loss of job caused by the pandemic, illness or hospitalization directly related to COVID-19, or medical bills or grief from knowing pandemic victim families. There's frustration with quarantine, especially when there are no symptoms. So why would we have pandemic fatigue? Plenty of reasons. None of us has been in a pandemic before. None of us has ever been told to stay home before. No one has ever told us we should be wearing masks before. And none of us have seen people get so bent out of shape by being told to wear a mask. We don't always remember to wear our mask. We don't always remember where our mask is. If we want to go anywhere, we don't know what the hours are anymore. We don't know whether the place is open anymore. We don't know how to find out. Their website and their Facebook page is not up to date to say they are open or mask required or new hours. I don't think I know anyone who actually likes to wear a mask. No one likes it, but we don't always get to go through life getting to do what we want or prefer to do. Some shopping areas have had preferred hours for certain age groups. Some items you want or need to pick up cannot be found. The kids are not in school. Well, the kids are in school, but they're underfoot all day while you may be trying to work from home, and their schools are virtual. So what can we do? How do we make Gatorade out of this gator of a pandemic we've been handed? First of all, pray, says the apostle to his pastor, 1 Timothy 2:1. Yes, pray, and don't stop praying, but there is more, much more, that we can do as followers of Jesus. There's more to making Gatorade than praying the instructions or praying the recipe. Remember, as our scripture today reminds us, even when Jesus healed people, he often required them to do something like get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Or told them to wash. Some folks had to visit the priests. Once Jesus asked the blind man flat out, "So what do you want me to do for you here?" The man had to tell Jesus what he wanted Jesus to do for him. So yes, prayer, and I will speak in a few moments about other things, we can do to deal with this pandemic. We're not going to be able to just spiritually walk it off. So I have to tell you another true story about a young woman of faith who was suffering headaches. It took some convincing, but she finally made an appointment with a neurologist. Have you ever tried to get an appointment to get to see a neurologist? Have you tried to get an appointment while you're suffering debilitating headaches? Well, if you can get an appointment within 6 weeks from now, you're doing pretty good. This woman's headaches would go away, and then without any apparent reason, the headaches would come back. The headaches were intense. She was one of those reluctant to take medication persons. Besides, when she did, nothing seemed to help. One day at work, she was bent over her desk trying to tell herself, "It's just a headache." The headache should not be able to send her home for the day. That's what she was telling herself. You see what she was doing? She was trying to tell herself to walk it off. And some church people might have told her any number of things I've already mentioned. Do you have headaches because there's something you haven't turned over to the Lord? You need to let go and let God, the spiritual equivalent of walk it off. Do you have headaches because there's something you need to confess? Do you have headaches because there's anything you have done wrong, some sin? Or, as a woman I spoke to at the beginning of the pandemic, this other woman said, "Oh, I think that God's going to take care of us." The ultimate walk it off. Okay, I won't argue with that. God's going to take care of us. But, I always want to know, at what level will God take care of me? Will God not let me get the virus? Will God not let me get the headache? This young woman might have asked. Will God not let me need the hospital? Or will God not have me have a brain tumor? Will God not let me need the intensive care ward or respirator? Or, the young woman might have asked, will God not have me have brain damage from the tumor? Or will God not let me die from the coronavirus? And what about the people around me? God will take care of us. But I want to know, at what level? As it turns out, the young woman with headaches had an accident that landed her in the hospital, and they did an MRI right away. And there was a brain tumor. There was the cause of her headaches. She would have surgery 2 days later to remove the tumor. After surgery, and she was sufficiently recovered, she would undergo treatment with all the side effects that come with cancer treatment. Was God taking care of this young woman? Yes, God was taking care of this woman. But there was so much more that this faithful young woman had to do. She had to make Gatorade. The woman had to undergo brain surgery, and she had to undergo cancer treatment. Her headaches were caused by a tumor. The tumor was encased in her skull. God took care of that. It had not sent out any shoots. God took care of that. The tumor was removed without any permanent brain damage. God took care of that. Yes, she suffered the side effects of treatment, but she's been cancer-free since the surgery. Did our Lord take care of that faithful woman? Yes. Did the woman walk it off? Did the woman walk off her headaches spiritually? No. The woman did what she had to do to make Gatorade. She did what she had to do to heal from a brain tumor. I've mentioned before that when our Lord healed people, he often required them to do something. And when you think about it, when you look at today's Bible report from Mark's Gospel, Jesus does not pronounce the crippled man healed. Notice that. Jesus tells the man his sins are forgiven, and then tells the crippled man to get up, pick up his bed, and walk home. It almost sounds cruel, doesn't it? The man will discover in his efforts to get up and walk that the formerly crippled man is indeed healed. As I gave this more thought, this whole episode is even more complicated. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What we all assume and what we can all assume is this: the paralyzed man accepted Jesus' statement. The paralyzed man accepted that his sins were forgiven. You realize, for any Jew in the first century, that's quite a stretch. You and I don't think anything of Jesus saying, "Your sins are forgiven." We might even shout, "Praise the Lord." But the religious authorities in the crowd that day did not shout, "Praise the Lord." They were thinking, "Uh-oh, major sinning just broke out here. Blasphemy." But the crippled man stretches more than his limbs. He stretches his faith to say to himself, like Mary did at the angel's word, "Let it be to me as you have said." The actual words Mary used, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And I like the King James Version here, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That's what this paralytic had to say to himself. "I receive your forgiveness as from God the Father, who forgives sins." After this man stretched his faith, the man was able to stretch his limbs. You and I, to make Gatorade in this pandemic, like the young woman I told you about, may have to stretch more so we can do more in this pandemic to make Gatorade. Members of the church will often ask me how someone else in church is doing after hospitalization or surgery, and I'll usually share that information. But in the last several years, I have done more than that. I have suggested that the person asking please call the person they're asking me about. Ask the healing person themselves how they are doing. I'm almost certain that the healing person will welcome your concern and your call. Your call will answer the caller's question. It will also bless the person who is healing, and the whole church will be better for it. But one more thing, please call the person who is sick or healing and ask how they are doing, and tell them that you will continue to pray for them. And then do pray for them, and everyone benefits. Our body teaches us that healing is a process. We have learned that while our bodies are healing, that physical therapy helps the body strengthen and focus the results of healing. In most cases, physical therapy helps complete and restore the body to recovery from disease, illness, or surgery. The Bible suggests that it isn't any different with Jesus. I once referred to Jesus in a sermon as a coach. This was years before we used the term mentor or life coach. I only remember that I did mention Jesus as a coach because it struck an 80-year-old hearer of my statement who had never thought of Jesus that way. But as a coach, it's the player athlete who executes the coach's directions, just as you and I, as followers of Jesus, execute Jesus' directions. A physical therapist does not do the exercises for the patient. And yet the coach's instructions lead to proper execution, and the therapist's instructions lead to complete healing and restoration. One of the problems of the success gospel is that it seems to guarantee results with little or no effort on the faithful person's part. Any problems with the successful results from usually prayer and faith rests on the faith of the person who is not seeing successful results. The faithful person not seeing successful results is seen as the cause of the ongoing problems. In particular, the faithful person is accused of being faithless or weak in faith. A careful reading of the Bible does not support any such interpretation of God's Word. The success gospel does not carefully consider God's Word. Remember, the Apostle Paul was never healed of his physical ailment. I heard a person 1 month ago claim that the only reason a person would wear a mask in this pandemic is that they were frightened into wearing one. That is, this person didn't believe that wearing a mask was a reasonable response to this pandemic. Wearing a mask was not a faithful response to the pandemic. Now, I hate to make an example of a fellow pastor, but if the shoe fits, and it shows up in the news media, maybe the fellow pastor can teach us all something. It isn't a long story. I've heard and read about this same series of events with other people more than once since the month of March. The pastor claims and stated the following claims. And remember, the pastor makes these claims for himself and his entire congregation. The pastor wrote on his church blog, the pastor prayed that there would be no mask requirement in his community. If people didn't want to wear a mask, it's okay. The pastor himself doesn't wear one. For those who believe in Jesus, this is what he wrote. For those who believe in Jesus, there is no need to fear the cause or effect of the COVID-19 virus. Church was especially no place for a mask because it was not a public place. That many authorities were completely wrong about the potential threat of this virus. That's what the pastor wrote. Well, you know what happened. Then the pastor and his wife get infected with the COVID-19 virus. They both have symptoms, and although I didn't read that the pastor's wife was hospitalized, the pastor was hospitalized and had to be in intensive care. The pastor's still in intensive care after 2 weeks. Now, 6 other church members have tested positive for the coronavirus. The pastor's wife has now confessed on Facebook she had not taken the COVID-19 virus seriously enough. I'm humbled, she wrote. This virus is serious. So let me ask you a question that I sometimes come up with when I'm reading the Bible. So if Jesus had told this pastor, we just read about, told this pastor to go wash in the pool of Siloam, as Jesus told a blind man, as recorded in John chapter 9, verse 7. Would this pastor have said, no, I don't have to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Washing is not a faithful response to my blindness. Would the pastor have said that to Jesus? I'm just asking a question. But the Bible states, John 9:7, go, Jesus told the blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. It seems to me that if Jesus says jump, you and I want to ask how high. If Jesus says go wash, I suggest you and I run as fast as we can, not walk it off. If you and I have to make Gatorade, if you and I have to work through this pandemic, then we have to roll up our sleeves and do whatever Jesus wants us to do to get through this. Friends, your sins are forgiven in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You and I don't work at that. That's done for us. Now Jesus further states, get up, take your mat, and go. That's for us to do. And even if you're crippled, you are to get up, take your mat, and go. Friends, your sins are forgiven in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, Jesus further states, get up, take your mat, and go. Amen. Thank you.